Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
It was muted. Hello, everybody. So good to see your bright and beautiful faces tonight on a cold winter Bakersfield night. My name is Pastor Jim. I lead our Thousand Oaks campus, and it is great to be with you on a Wednesday night. So excited. Man, look at this amazing stage. You guys are full throttle Christmas right now. I love it. I love it. How many are ready for Christmas? How about online? Give us a little comment below if you're watching online. Are you ready for Christmas? And I have a little Christmas talk that I want to give to you guys tonight. And it is the Advent season. And I know as we talk about Advent, there's some of you that grew up in a traditional kind of like a faith background where you practiced Advent every year. How many grew up in a traditional home with a Advent calendar? Come on. A lot of you did Advent for the chocolate through the window, right? You open, how many still do that, by the way? You still open the little boxes and, you know, the little windows and you eat the chocolate. Do you know, this is true, that Costco sells Advent little boxes for your dog? They do. It's true. We bought one and I brought it home and Tara's like, "What is this?" I said, "This is an Advent for our dog." She goes, "How much did you spend?" I said, "I don't want to tell you." But if you need it, Costco has it, all right? Tonight's message is brought to you by Costco. But if you have your Bibles, on a serious note, I want to go to an Old Testament passage in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. It's pretty famous for speaking into this Christmas season, but you're going to see why we're going to go there in a minute. I want to circle back on something that Pastor Tom was telling you about when you came in. You got that 25 days of Christmas. Now, what this is, if you want to look at it this way, it's a reverse Advent calendar. And so what you're going to do is you're going to do a daily assignment starting tomorrow all the way through Christmas Day. And each assignment, as you accomplish it, you're going to cross it off. So basically, you're going to like do a reverse Advent. So the goal is, by the time we get to December 25th, you will have accomplished all of these assignments. So this is your challenge if you choose to accept it. Now, what I believe God is going to do through this process is he's going to get you into a position where being generous becomes your nature, because it takes 21 days to form a habit. So in 25 days, you will now have a new habit that you have cultivated for your life about giving and serving other people. And how many would agree with me that that is a good habit to have for your life? To give and to serve. It's what we're called to do as people of God, as followers of Jesus. And so what I would encourage you to do is tomorrow when you wake up, you pray. You know, maybe you put it on your refrigerator in your kitchen. Maybe you close your eyes and say, "In Jesus' name, which one am I going to do today?" And just put your finger on one and then just start going down the list. You don't have to do it in order. You can just be Spirit-led. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you which one to do and just go for it. One of my favorites on that list is leaving dollar bills at the dollar store. Just can you imagine that? You're in the dollar store and you just go to look at something. There's a dollar bill right there. Now, how many people would just be like, "Wow, that is a God wink. You know, God loves me. He gave me a dollar at the dollar store." I don't know. But I just think that's fun. But let me pray this, and I believe God has a powerful word for you tonight. I believe he is going to speak life to so many of you. Some of you came in here hopeless. You're going to leave here hopeful. Come on, somebody. I believe it. Teen Challenge van when I rolled up. Where are my Teen Challenge people? You are my people, all right? All of you are my people, but they're especially my people. But let me pray this. Father, we thank you so much for the great work, God, that you are doing in us. And Lord, we pray tonight in faith that you would speak to our lives, that you would change us, that you would heal us, that you would restore us so that when we leave this place, God, we will know that we had a divine encounter with the living God. And we thank you in advance for doing that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay. Now, if you're following the Advent calendar, you're going to know that the first week of Advent is the week that we call the week of hope. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to talk about hope. Now, what's interesting about the Advent season, for those of you that come from a non-traditional faith background or maybe even an unchurched background, you're like, what is Advent? So Advent is this season that we highlight the coming of Christ, and we're getting ready for the coming of Christ. So it's a season of anticipation, expectation, and preparation. So you're getting ready. You're posturing your soul so that you're ready for the coming of Christ. Now, this is why, you know, a lot of us have a tradition within our homes that we open up our gifts on Christmas morning, right? How many grew up in that tradition? You that open your gifts on Christmas Eve, you're missing out on something so fun. When I was growing up, and my dad might even be watching right now online, but when I was growing up, I mean, we were the Christmas morning family. We opened gifts, you know, and so Christmas Eve night, like, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited. I was like, whoa, I know I'm going to wake up and there's going to be a gift with my name on it. And it just revved me up as a little boy. I'm just like, man, I can't wait till Christmas morning when I get that Red Ryder BB gun, right? Or, you know, whatever. And I really did get one Christmas. And I didn't shoot my eye out. So what I love about the anticipation of Christmas morning is that feeling of that expectation that when I wake up, there's going to be a gift waiting for me. That is what we should all be feeling spiritually when it comes to having a relationship with God. That every day when we wake up, God has a gift waiting to give you. Did you know that? He has a gift waiting to give you. And so when we're waking up with that anticipation, with that expectation, like, wow, God, what are you going to do in my life today? It just creates a whole attitude shift, doesn't it? And so this is what we call hope, that there is an expectation that God is putting into your life, that even though things may be dark, light is coming. Even though there may be some stuff moving in the wrong direction, God is moving for you in the right direction. And so this is what we talk about when we talk about hope. Now, I want to go to Isaiah because Isaiah gives us a message of hope. And this is not just for us. Mainly, it's for the nation of Israel back in Isaiah's time. God was giving Isaiah a special revelation for the nation of Israel who were not following God the way God was calling them to follow him. They were doing their own things. They were following other foreign gods. And because of that, they were facing this turmoil. They were facing all kinds of things, adversity. Things are coming undone because it is God that holds all things together. And so when you start moving your life away from God, don't be surprised when things begin to come undone in your life. Hello, who's that for tonight? Don't be shocked when things start coming undone. Because, you know, Scripture even tells us it's Christ that holds all things together. And so the nation of Israel, as a nation, they were forsaking God. They were following their own ways. They were moving their life away from God. And all hell was breaking loose in their life. They had all kinds of struggle and trouble. Can you relate? They had all kinds of struggle and trouble breaking out in their life. And Isaiah, in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this turmoil, Isaiah comes to speak this word to them. And it's a word that I'm sure they received it really, really well. Isaiah chapter 9. If you guys can put that scripture. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Remember the context. So darkness is all around the people of God. And now Isaiah is speaking, saying, there's darkness, but there's a light a-coming. And it says, for to us, a child is born. To us, a son is, what is that word, church?
Given.
There's a gift that is coming for us in the form of a child. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So can you imagine, you're the people of God. You know that the trouble and the struggle is real. And you're sitting there going, man, is there ever going to be a different experience in our life? Man, because everything's just going wrong. And Isaiah says, there is change coming. And it's coming in the form of a baby. This son is going to be born. A child is going to be given. And I can imagine the hope of the anticipation of this child that was rising up in the people of God. Now, they were probably thinking, like, it's going to be soon. They didn't know it would be hundreds of years later. You know, the distance, or the time, I should say, between the last book of the Bible in the Old Testament, which is the book of Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew, most Bible scholars and historians believe there was a gap of time, probably more like in the timeline of about 500 plus years. So there was this silence that broke out in the world where God was not speaking to his people anymore. And I know 500 years, that's a long time. We haven't even been a nation that long. It had been over 500 years since they had heard a prophet of God speak on God's behalf. And I'm imagining after the first 100 years, hope had grown very, very dim. Probably after the second 100 years, it probably was almost completely gone off the radar. And then Jesus appears, comes and is born in a manger. And then 8 days later, as the Jewish custom had it, the parents, Joseph and Mary, would take the baby to the temple for the rites and all of the Jewish rituals that would be performed on the child, dedication and blessing and so on and so forth. But we read about this in Luke chapter 2. Because the nation as a whole had lost their hope. But not everybody in the nation. There were two people hanging out in the temple that day that Joseph and Mary showed up to dedicate baby Jesus. And their names were Simeon and Anna. A woman of God and a man of God. That didn't lose hope. They actually had that same anticipation and that expectation that maybe you had and that I had as kids waking up on Christmas morning. And we read about this in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. So he was waiting, right? Because he had the expectation that even though it's dark, a light is coming. Remember, we just read that in Isaiah 9. So he's there with expectation, anticipation, and he's full of the Holy Spirit. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So not only did he have this revelation given by a prophet of God, he had a personal revelation given to him directly by the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to get a word from God in the Word of God, but to get a word from God in a revelation directly personalized for you, that is powerful. And I want you to know God still speaks like this. He wants to give you revelation. When you wake up tomorrow morning, there's revelation that God wants to download into your life. You should be like Simeon, go, man, God, what is it? What do you want to say to me today? Every morning I wake up like that. And I know that God has something that he wants to say, maybe about my marriage, maybe about my family, maybe about ministry, maybe about leaving dollars at the dollar store. There's things that God wants to speak. So it says here, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Translation, I'm okay to die now. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light, there it is again, for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at the very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So why do I mention this? Because I believe there was a gift of hope that Anna and Simeon had received by God that they held on to for this very moment. A moment that would become pivotal, not just for them, but for us right now in this place and for everyone that's watching. They held on to hope. And I believe that tonight God is up to great things for your life. Do you believe it? I believe it. And if you don't believe it, borrow some of my faith for your life. Faith, by definition, is the assurance of things what? Hoped for. You can look at that later in the book of Hebrews. But I want to speak tonight because I feel like in this season, in this culture that we live in, that we're kind of living in the same context in a way where the Israelites were back when Isaiah prophesied Isaiah chapter 9. I think there's a darkness over our culture. I believe that a lot of us are going through some difficult situations. There's a lot of struggle and trouble. Hello, somebody. There's a lot of struggle and trouble happening to where you can get into a position where you just feel as though there's never going to be a time in my future where I'm not going to be in my struggle or trouble. It's always going to be like this. When you're in the pit of despair, it feels like you will never be able to be lifted out of that pit. And I believe that the hope that these guys received that day at the temple is the hope that God wants you to receive tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. And there's a prayer that I have for you, VBF. There's a prayer that I have. And it comes from the book of Romans. And this is the prayer I want you to receive tonight by faith. That this is what God really wants us all living in. And Paul writes to the Roman church and he says, may God, the source of what? The source of hope. Some of you are feeling hopeless tonight. I want you to know that the source of your hope is God. So if you haven't been spending time with the source, don't be surprised that you're feeling really hopeless in your life. Because the more time you spend with God, the more hopeful you're going to become because he is your source of hope. He fills your hope tank. How many need your hope tank filled up tonight? He's the source. And it says, he will fill you with joy and peace through your faith in him. Then you will, I love this part, overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be overflowing with hope because you are just going to be more of a positive person. You're going to be overflowing with hope because you are directly connecting to the source of hope, which is God through the Holy Spirit. So the more time you're devoting yourself to being intentional to connect with God, not only are you receiving power from God to overcome the sin in your life, you're also overflowing with hope for your life. Do you see that? That's what God wants to deposit to you as you hang out with him. So this is my prayer for you. It's my prayer for myself. I want to be a person that is overflowing with hope. I want to be that person. And I believe that the church ought to be the most hopeful people on this planet. We ought to be. People at work ought to be going out of their way to get around you, because in a hopeless world, they want to get around some hopeful people. And you ought to be the source of hope at your place of work, at the school that you go to. Why? Because you are connected to the source of hope, which is God that lives in you. Are you tracking with me? We're doing Bible study tonight, church. I want to take you to one other passage to really make my point. And it's found in the book of Titus. And I really love this passage in Titus, because I believe that what Paul writes to Titus is what I call a three-dimensional hope that God wants us all experiencing for our lives. It's three-dimensional in the sense that God wants us experiencing this hope that's already happened. I call it past hope. There's also another dimension of hope, which is our present hope, that God wants you experiencing hope right now for your life today. And then there's a future hope of a hope that's going to come for your life sometime in the future. Let me read. I think it starts with verse 11. It says, after all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. It trains us to avoid ungodly lives filled with worldly desires so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world. At the same time, we can expect what we hope for. You catch that? At the same time, we can expect what we hope for, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to set us free from every sin and to cleanse us so that we can be his special people who are enthusiastic about doing good things. I love that translation. That we ought to be a people enthusiastic to do good things. Now, when I hear the word enthusiastic, I think of Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. Like, hoo-hoo-hoo! Like, did you ever wake up in the morning and go, hoo-hoo-hoo! I get to do good things today because the good God lives in me. And because he lives in me, his goodness lives in me, and what is in me will flow out of me. So if his goodness is coming in, then his goodness is going to flow out. So I'm enthusiastic that God is going to use me like that. But what I want to land on this thing, because there's a past, present, and future. How many ever watched Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? Right, you've got, yeah. All right, we've got a fan over here. You have the ghost of Christmas past. You have the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas future. And Scrooge goes on this whole dreamlike state, and he's visiting his past, visiting his present, and his possible future. But I believe hope has the same kind of qualities. There's what I call the past. And what I think of when I think of the past hope is I think of my forgiveness. I think of my forgiveness. That Jesus came to this world not so that he could be born as a baby in a manger, so that he could come to this world really to be a man and die on the cross. He came on mission. And his whole mission was centered around you and me being forgiven of our sin. And as we think about the idea of forgiveness, I know some of you tonight, you struggle with the thought that even though you've done some wicked things in your life, that there is a God in heaven who loves you in spite of what you've done. And not only loves you in spite of what you've done, he's chosen to forgive you of that wickedness and to give you a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, 100 chance. Come on, somebody, 1,000 chance. God's grace, listen to me, church, God's grace is greater than your greatest mistake. You need to know that. Now, that doesn't give us a license to keep going out there and living however we want. But when you really understand the significance of what you've been forgiven of, it just causes you to live a different kind of way. And I believe tonight, God has a breakthrough for somebody. I don't know who you are or where you're sitting at tonight, but I want you to know, you're struggling with the concept that God would love you and forgive you even though you did things you know you shouldn't have done. And I think this is part of the brokenness. And it's just so, we're so messed up. I mean, we can know the right decision to make. And we can even know the consequences of a bad decision and what that will do against ourselves, our health, our family, our relationships. And we could have all the reasoning in front of us and we'll still sometimes make the wrong decision. Have you ever been there? If you haven't, you're lying, all right? Because I've been there more times than I can count. But that's a brokenness. It's a brokenness of our human condition. And what you need to understand is Jesus Christ already paid for your forgiveness. God looks at you not for the sin that you've committed. God looks at you through the lens of the cross. And at the foot of the cross, all of our sins have been paid for in full. You're no longer paying a debt for something wrong that you've committed because Jesus paid the debt in full. That means your past sins, your present sins, and even your future sins, they've all been forgiven. And I know some of you, it's a struggle just to think, like, I would never be able to forgive somebody that double-crossed me, you know, in my life. Well, thank God, God is not like you. That His love is so much greater than any love that you can fathom or you could give to another human being. That He forgives the worst of people. Including me, including you. But when you understand this, there's breakthrough that takes place for your life. That this has already happened. This already took place. You can't do anything to change it. Jesus already came to this world. He already died on the cross. It's already been done. The question is, have you received the forgiveness? That's the question tonight. For you online, that's the question tonight. Have you received the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has already made available for your life? That's the past, my forgiveness. Now, let's talk about the present. This is what I call my lifestyle. This is the present hope. And notice what it says here, and we need to review it a little bit because it's worthy. It says it trains us to avoid ungodly lies filled with worldly desires so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in the present world. In the present world. God loves you the way you are, but He refuses to leave you in that condition. What happens is when you keep showing up, see, the cool thing about this church is that I don't care who you are, what you've done, or where you've been, you are welcome in this church. Even if you're high right now listening to this message, you're high. Somebody said you get to church. You know what? All right? You shouldn't have gotten high tonight. All right? Let's just get that out of the way. But thank God you still showed up. Because you keep showing up and you keep putting yourself in front of light, and light has a way of pushing out the darkness in your life. That's what you do. That's why I say it a lot, but showing up is half the battle. But tonight you showed up. Knuckle bump your neighbor and say, you showed up. And why that's so good, because if it's half the battle, that means you're already halfway to your victory. Hello, somebody. You're already halfway there. Keep going. Something needs to be said for the change that God makes for your life. You can't stay the same way. The conviction of the Spirit, He changes your want to. Did you know that? Some of you, like, before drug addiction, you're just like, man, I can't help myself. I got to keep going back to that. God has transformed your want to. You used to be like, I want to do drugs. Now you're like, I don't want to do drugs. Because what Jesus has is so much better than what the drugs had for my life. The drugs were destroying me, and Jesus has given me life and hope and peace. Everything that the drugs promised but they never delivered, Jesus has given me and then some. That's why I like to say, there's no high like being high on the Most High. That's how I like to say it, church. I'm preaching tonight. My teen challenge, you guys are giving me some good energy. I love it. I feel it. But just thinking about this idea, some of you, you want to change so badly. And the change isn't going to come with you trying harder. You know where the change comes? You know where the present hope is? Is when you park yourself in the presence of God and let His light flood your soul. That's where the change takes place. It's more powerful than the things and lifestyle that maybe you've lived all your life. And when Jesus enters your life, it's a game changer. And I know when you're stuck in bad habits and in hang-ups, there's a feeling sometimes like there's never going to be a different lifestyle for my life. I've always done this. My parents did this. And so, therefore, I'm always going to do this. See, when Jesus enters your life, it's a game changer. And all bets are off. Because the Word proclaims to us, with God, all things are possible. So just because you've always been this way and you've always done these things, when Jesus enters your life, He gives you a fresh start, a new beginning. The old ways leave so that new ways come. The old nature dies because a new nature has been born. That is why when you receive Christ, it's called becoming born again. You're no longer the same. You've been born all over again with a new nature inside of you, and that nature is supernatural. It's a supernatural nature because now God is living on the inside, compelling you to become a different person than you used to be. So you won't be able to stay the same way. So for those of you that are like, man, I don't know, man, I just feel so stuck in my head. Because sometimes, you know, when you make a mistake, it's just playing on loop and you just can't get past that. I want you to know that tonight, the present hope of your life is because Jesus is living in your life. You, my friend, have become a new creation where old things have passed away. And behold, all things, say with me, all things are becoming new. All things are becoming new. Just know that. That is the present hope. And let's go to the third hope. And this is the future hope. And this is what I call my eternity. And I know sometimes we can get so busy in our lives here that it's hard to imagine ever not being on this earth. And as we wrap up 2022, some of you know this to be too real because you have said goodbye to a loved one this year. You buried somebody. Somebody that you thought, man, this person is going to be with me for the rest of my life, and they're no longer at the Thanksgiving table. And it hurts, and we grieve, and we look at it from this lens of like, wow, you know, this is a bummer. But I want to just tell you something, and I don't want to, like, you know, put you back in hopelessness again, because there is hope in the future for your life. But nobody gets out of here alive, church. we don't leave this place like in the earthly form that we're in. And the older you get, the more you will realize this, because you will attend more and more funerals. But the hope that we have is that even though we die on this earth, yet shall we live. Hello. Even though we die, yet shall we live. Because I don't know if you've read this before, but Jesus said He is the resurrection and the life. That's who He is, and that's what He does for our lives. There's eternity in your soul. that when you received God, he gave you a down payment of the things to come called the Holy Spirit. You have a piece of heaven living in you now, so it'll prepare you for the heaven to come later on for your eternity. And so as you're living your life, you will sense that. This is what we call the hope of heaven. This is why when loved ones that we know that trusted their lives over to Jesus, that it's not a goodbye, it's a see you later. We're going to see him again. And I don't know if this is theologically correct, but this is, you know, the way I really believe it's going to happen. I believe there's going to be a greeting party when we leave our bodies and we go to be with the Lord. And I think our loved ones are going to be there. And if your moms have passed on before you, I believe your mom is leading the parade. Hello. I believe my mom, Donna, a lot of you knew her. A lot of you worked with her in the nursery. I believe she will be right there at my departure saying, "Welcome home, Jimmy. I've been waiting for this moment." That's the hope of heaven. And that is the promise that we have as followers of Jesus. And this should be exciting for you. As you see the world growing darker and dimmer, it just means that his return is getting sooner. And I'm convinced now more than ever before, we're not only living in the end of days, we're living at the end of the end of days. I really believe this. And throughout the Bible, we got the whole book of Daniel really focusing on this. You got the book of Ezekiel talking about this. A whole book of our Bibles is dedicated to talking about the end. This is the book of Revelation. And then you have the apostles of Jesus that are like talking about the, not the first advent, but the second advent, talking about Jesus Christ coming back again. Paul talks about it. John talks about it. Peter talks about it. And they're all chiming in about, man, Jesus has left, but he's coming back again. And the first advent is Jesus coming with mercy. The second advent, the second coming of Christ, he's coming with judgment. And what I mean by judgment is he's going to make all things just. And those things that are wrong in the world, he's going to make right because he is the perfect ruler. The government is on his shoulders. Democrats can't fix us. Republicans can't fix us. There is a government that is coming in the future that is going to make all wrong right. And there's going to be perfect justice. It's coming, church. And that's what we put our hope in. We put our hope in Jesus. Because he's going to make things right. And the question for us tonight is, are we ready for that second coming? You know, every year that we celebrate Advent, it's actually an opportunity to prepare ourselves for the second Advent that is to come. So I just think it would be fitting to end with a question that all of us, really every day when we wake up, we should be thinking this. If Jesus Christ were to come back today, would I be ready? Even Jesus spoke into this, talking about how the Son of Man is going to come back like a thief in the night. And an hour that nobody expects. And so the question is, and Pastor Ron asked this years ago, even in a church service like this, he said, if he were to come back tonight, would you be ready? If there were a button installed in front of you right now, and if you were to be able to push that button, you would be taken up into the air to be with Jesus. How many of you tonight would be ready to push that button? Three of you. Yes. But hey, if we're honest, some of you are like, ooh, not so much. Let me come to church a few more Wednesday nights. Let me read my Bible a little bit more and freshen up for the final exam. Then I'll be ready. Some of you single are like, let me get married. Let me have some babies. You know, there, all kinds of things maybe are in your mind. But the Bible tells us we got to be ready at all times. Check out what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, and I'll end here. But it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that word caught up is interesting. in the Latin language, this is the word rapturo. So if you've ever heard Christians use the term rapture, this is where it comes from. So the word rapture is not in our Bibles, but it kind of is, because in a Latin language, that's what the word caught up means. So there's going to come a time in the future where things are going to get so bad on earth that Jesus is coming back and he's going to pull his church out of the darkness so that they don't get caught up in the tribulation. And it says, and so we will be with the Lord forever. So when I talk about the return of Christ, there's some of you that have been a part of the church for decades. You're like, I've heard this before. I was around in the 70s, Pastor Jim, when you were just a little baby. And we heard all the reasons why Jesus was coming back. I was a hippie, and I watched the movies, all the women with their ironed hair, you know, saying, you know, the Thief in the Night movies. And some of you are like, man, I lived through the 80s, and I got the flyer, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. That actually happened my senior year in high school. I got it on my flyer or my card. I was like, wow, it's going to happen this year. Who would have thought? And who knew the year? God bless the 80s, by the way. But the 80s came and went. And then the 90s came, and the Left Behind books came out, and the first Desert Storm happened, and then everyone was like, oh, wow, this is the first conflict America's been involved in the Middle East. It's got to be now. Jesus is coming back in the 90s, and the 90s came and went. Now we're in the 2000s and 2020s, and we're like, meh, not going to happen. What is that? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And let me just caution you, if you've kind of grown a little cold to the idea of Jesus' return because it hasn't happened on your timeline, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's coming. And Pastor Ron told me today that he's going to speak more about this on Sunday. So it's Wednesday, but Sunday's coming. And maybe between now and Sunday, we are going to be rapturoed right into the air, and we won't even make it Sunday. And how bad would it be for you to show up on Sunday, and you're like, I'm ready for church, and we're all gone. You're looking around going, what? Did they move down the street? Like, where'd the church go? You don't want to be left behind. What's the old saying, you know? Get right or get left. I don't know how biblically accurate that is, but there should be something in you. There's a future hope that we ought to be carrying, that even though this world is dark and dim and there's all kinds of stuff breaking loose around me, that there's a future hope where all wrong is going to be made right and I'm going to be caught up. I'm going to be with him in eternity forever. You don't want to miss out on that. So you got a past hope, you got a present hope, you got a future hope, and the choice is up to you whether or not you want to unwrap this hope for your life. And Advent is all about us coming to God and saying, God, I received the greatest gift that you could ever offer me, which is Jesus, who has given us the gift of hope. Paul calls Jesus the anchor of hope. And I want you to experience that anchor for your life right now. That you don't have to leave this place hopeless. You can leave this place hopeful because Jesus is in your life. So let me pray. Father, I thank you, God. I know that there's some major encouragement happening tonight. I even really feel, God, that somebody was set free, God, in the sense, God, they've really, for the first time in their life, received forgiveness, that Lord, they've realized, God, what you've done for their life. Others, God, they've realized that you're up to great things in the present time, that God, you're making all things new. God, there are some people here that are just so relieved knowing that, God, there's a future hope waiting for them, that there's a big reunion to come for their future where they're going to be reunited with loved ones and to live forever in heaven. That God, your coming back could be any moment now. While everyone is praying, just let the Holy Spirit work on you. Maybe it's the past hope that you need to let the Holy Spirit do a great work in you right now about forgiveness, about living in the grace that Jesus has already extended for your life. Others of you, maybe it's that present hope. I'm going to speak a word to somebody. He who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. If your life is not good, he's not done. He's doing a work in you, and he's going to be faithful to complete it. Lord, minister to somebody's heart here tonight about that. God, and Lord, some people, they're just not right. They're not ready for the second coming. And I pray in this moment tonight, God, that, Lord, they would do what they need to do with their lives to get ready, Lord, to get their lives clean, to come before you, to let your presence take over their life. And while the Holy Spirit's working, maybe some of you tonight, you've never made the decision to say yes to following Jesus, to receive this gift of life that he has ready to give you, that he wants you to receive tonight. Because Christmas is all about God giving you the greatest gift humanity could ever receive, and that is the gift of his son, Jesus. He wants to come and live in you, to fill you with his spirit. And if you've never made that decision to say yes to following Jesus, right in your chair or right at home, you pray this prayer right after me. And this is where your journey with Jesus begins. Pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, tonight I give you my life. I receive this gift that you have to offer me, this gift of forgiveness, this gift of a changed life, this gift of heaven to come. Lord, I give my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And fill me, God, with the hope that comes with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you, number one, tell somebody, maybe somebody that's bugging you to come to church. Say, I not only came to church, I said yes to following Jesus. Maybe text a friend. And then, two, tell us. Come up here. Tell one of our prayer partners. Say, I made that decision tonight. And let them just give you a Bible, some other resources. But we love you guys. Have a great night. And remember, tomorrow is day one of your 25 days of Christmas. So get busy checking those boxes. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.